out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 4th of July, 2018. Happy Independence Day to all our American listeners. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Normally we'd have Eddie Morrison with us today for some more on 50 years of British nationalism. He's unable to make it. He may be moving to a different day, possibly on a Monday, so I will keep you informed on that as and when it happens. So you've just got me today, and I've got a few things that I've picked out from the news, a couple of subjects that I'd like to talk about. Something that's just happening at the moment in Amesbury in Britain, which is very close to Salisbury, where the Russian ex-spy was poisoned a while back. It looks like we have another poisoning. There are a couple that they are in critical condition, actually in Amesbury, which is just another village very nearby to Salisbury. And apparently the police at first, they thought it could have been an overdose of some kind of drug. And now they're saying it's an unknown substance, and the substance itself is being tested at Porton Down, which is our chemical weapons testing facility. So it looks very interesting what could happen there, because I don't believe there's any link to Russia with this instance. So it could well be that this attack on this ex-Russian spy was nothing to do with them at all, which is, of course, what we've been saying here at Radio Arian for a while. They had no evidence to show that. And there was also confusion over what the actual substance was. Switzerland tested the substance, and they said that they called it B2, which is apparently some kind of psychedelic. And they said that actually it tested positive for B2 and something else that they weren't able to ascertain. So even the fact that it was this nerve agent that we were told, that doesn't fit in either. And obviously the Skripals, if it had been a proper nerve agent, they would have been dead. They wouldn't still be alive. They wouldn't have survived it. Yet they did. So there's obviously something very strange that's going on around the Portland Down area, the chemical weapons testing area. So we'll have to keep paying attention to that and see what happens. But I also wanted to talk a little bit about the interview that I did with Ben Raymond the other day. If you haven't heard that yet, then I do recommend that you go and listen to it. There's a lot of important information in that about what is happening in Britain at the moment with these show trials of innocent men. And there were a couple of points that were brought up in the interview and a couple of things I didn't actually think about at the time. One of them was the fact that these guys got jailed for putting up stickers that actually said white zone. Now, Ben made a point saying, you know, what this is saying is that if you say anything positive about white people, then you can run the risk of being jailed. And what I actually hadn't thought of at the time is that these stickers, they didn't say whites only zone. They weren't excluding anybody else. They were just saying white zone. They weren't, you could say that, and they were accused of racial hatred for this, just for putting white zone on these stickers. And Mark Cullett today has posted an image of a road sign that says good behaviour zone. Now, I would argue that there's no difference between white zone and good behaviour zone. I mean, that's what whites are known for. The word Aryan means honourable, noble. If you ask anybody in the world where they would rather be tried for a crime, in what court they would like to be tried, they will say that they would like to be tried in a European court. They would like Europeans to judge them, because we are known to be just and honourable. And these stickers, that was all they were saying, is White Zone. And they were put up as a satirical response to other stickers that were put up with Sharia Zone. And now we've got the UK government putting up signs that actually say Good Behaviour Zone. So these White Zone stickers, they weren't hateful at all. They were just a commentary on these signs that keep going up about zones, basically. And another point that I wanted to raise about that, this lad, Chad, please do write to him, who was stabbed in the neck. Now, Ben said that the Muslim terrorists, they get given a whole wing to themselves to prevent them from contaminating the rest of the general population of the prison. But it's also to protect them. Now, Chad was convicted of putting these stickers up, and I'm not sure whether he was convicted also of being a member of a proscribed organisation. Now, as we all know, National Action don't exist anymore. They haven't existed since whatever the date was when the British government made them into a terrorist organisation. But whether he was convicted of being a member of that organisation or not, it was put across in the newspapers that these guys were terrorists. Anyone that was a former member of National Action is described as a terrorist by the newspapers. And he was put into the general population and he was stabbed. Now, quite clearly, if the Muslims, if they are designated terrorists and they get an entire wing to themselves, then why wasn't he put an entire wing to himself? And I would say that you could make a good argument there to sue the government for a lot of money for putting that lad at risk, for putting him among the general population, because what they're saying is, well, if you're non-white and you're a terrorist, we will separate you for your own safety. And if you are white and we've called you a terrorist, we're just going to put you in amongst everybody else. And it's also quite clear from what happened that the prison wardens had, they'd been paid off. They had to have been paid off, otherwise they would have discovered him on the floor of his cell in the blood. And also it looks like they may have been paid off to actually move him from the prison that he was in. He was moved to this prison that was known to be at risk of being compromised. And it surely was compromised because he was stabbed into the neck. So there was just two points that I didn't actually bring up during the interview that maybe I should have brought up. Now, something else that just I've been meaning to say, for those of us who have been inquiring over after Matt Heimbach, he's now been released from prison, I'm happy to say. I was talking to him the other day. He is safe and sound. He was actually put in solitary while he was in prison, so for his own safety. Obviously, it's quite boring while you are in solitary, but it does mean that you can get a lot of reading done, you can get a lot of exercise done, and it sounds like he's lost about 20 pounds in weight, and he's been doing a lot of exercise, and he's hoping to keep up the straight-edge mentality now that he's out from prison. Obviously, he can't really say anything. He's taking a break from the movement and what have you. I'm sure we will hear from him at some point in the future once all his trials have, he's got over them. I mean, he's got quite a challenge to get over all the things he's going to have to go through, lawsuits, civil actions, stuff from the Unite the Right, all sorts, as well as the fallout from that unfortunate incident that caused him to end up inside. Anyway, best wishes to Matt, and just to let our listeners know that he is okay and he is out of prison now. Somebody else who is in prison that we often talk about here, Tommy Robinson. He's had his appeal cancelled. On the 10th of July, it was due to be heard. And it's been cancelled because the Crown Prosecution Service say they need more time to prepare. Now, they haven't even seen what Tommy Robinson's appeal is going to be. And they certainly didn't give him any time to prepare. He was whisked off to jail within a matter of minutes when he was arrested on the steps of the court for reading out BBC news reports. I mean, that was all he was doing. He wasn't doing anything illegal. He was just at a courthouse, which is where people are allowed to go. People have to see justice being served. There were restrictions on the case, but he was reporting stuff that was already in the public domain. He was reading out news reports that had been put out by the BBC and by the local press. So he wasn't actually revealing anything that wasn't already revealed. He was only doing what he was legally allowed to do. So I'm guessing that that's what his appeal is going to be. But so they've now said that they need more time to prepare. But that isn't all that is suspicious about this. The judge that is supposed to be handling this appeal is Judge Leveson. People may remember him from the Leveson inquiry. Now, Leveson is obviously a Jew. Ezra Levant has spoken about this, and he said, oh, I saw that it was Judge Leveson, and I thought, well, he sounded like a good guy. Well, that's why Ezra Levant said that, because Leveson is another Jew, just like Ezra Levant. But whether he's a Jew or not, he has already spoken out against Tommy. Whether if he's a Jew, he's going to be more fairly minded to Tommy or not, you just don't know, because Tommy is a Zionist. He does support Zionism, but then again, there are also a lot of Jews that are out to get him as well. But this Leveson, this judge, has already spoken out against him. He's been on a BBC program where he declared Tommy guilty already. So how can you have a man that has already declared that the guy is guilty then judging impartially? He can't be judging him impartially. And they're obviously trying to make him suffer as much as they can by putting back this appeal date. And if you want to show your support for Tommy on the 14th of July, that's the date of the next march. Geert Wilders will be there. I'm not sure who else will be there. Be nice to see if Jada Franson is there. I believe that she's out of prison now, but she's probably got some odious restrictions on what she can or cannot do. And really, what the government are doing here is just locking up all their opposition. Anybody that has an alternative opinion on the way that the country should be governed and speaks up about it publicly, like Tommy Robinson was doing, like Jada Franson was doing, like the ex-members of National Action were doing, then they're all facing being jailed for doing this. And that's what it is. It's jailing the opposition. It's exactly what the Soviet Union did. To move on to another subject, just as I was getting ready to record this, I saw a tweet with a really good image. It was actually put out by a new nationalist organisation. They're called Scottish Nationalist Society. So I thought, well, I'll go and check out their website. It looks very good. They've got a symbol there, the Triskelion, which is like a Celtic three-armed swastika. And it's got Gott mit uns on it, God with us. So that's good. And they say, we are a movement of young, like-minded individuals who want to protect the progression of our people and our heritage and put Scottish people first in their own country. Well, who can argue with that? They also say, we support closed borders and strict immigration laws so that our people aren't quietly ethnically cleansed from our own homeland. For example, look at what is happening in London, the capital of England, and the United Kingdom as a whole. And then what they've got here, they've got some figures, some statistics. In London, violent crime, including murder, is up 19%. Sex offences are up 19%. Knife crime is up 26%. Stalking and harassment is up 36%. Theft and burglaries are up 11%. And the grooming of children is up by 64%. Now, all of that is directly attributable to immigration. 60% of London is now non-white, so of course you're going to expect these crimes to follow them. And these Scots obviously do not want Scotland to follow in the same way. The Welsh people don't want Wales to follow in the same way either. I mean, London is an example to the whole of the United Kingdom of exactly what you do not want to do. And the last thing you want is some midget Paddy Dwarf being the mayor of London who has the cheek to say that London is the safest city in the world, when he has all these masses of crime going on around him. And a lot of this crime has been caused by him stopping stop and search. Stop and search is when the police see suspicious people that fit a witness description of somebody that has committed a crime, and they stop them and search them. And he stopped all that. He said that was racist because far too many blacks and non-whites were being stopped and searched than they should be by their percentage of the population. But so what he's saying there is that the police are just being racist. They're not being racist. The police are acting on victims of crime giving them descriptions of who it is that has committed the crime. And the fact is that blacks are about 10 times more likely to have committed a crime than white people are. So these Scots, obviously, they don't want Scotland to go the same way. And I do wish them all the very best, and hopefully their Scottish Nationalist Society will stay up. Actually, Scottish Nationalist Society is what they're called. So go and check them out. But actually, right on their very doorstep, we have a story which is featuring in the news at the moment. And this is really quite shocking. A young white girl, 6 years old, has been murdered on a remote Scottish island. Now, when this first came up in the news, I thought, I wonder if that happens to be somewhere that they've put refugees. And it is somewhere that they put refugees. And today they've released the news that they've done an autopsy, and yes, this young six-year-old white girl was murdered. And she's been murdered in a refugee resettlement zone. And the island itself only contains 6,000 people. Really not a lot of people at all. And this isn't the first time that these Syrian refugees there have caused trouble. Now, we don't know for certain it is them, but, a new load of people moves into the island, and for the first time, a young girl gets murdered. And it's not just, this isn't just the first instance of crimes going on there. In the last year, sex crimes have gone up by 29%, and sexual assaults have gone up by 45% in Argyll and Bute. Now, looking around for information on this resettlement area, I discovered that the actual refugees that are there, they're not very happy. Despite everything that's been done for them, they're not very happy. And this is a quote from Breitbart. Expressing their gratitude for their new lives thousands of miles away from the Syrian conflict zone, refugees, who cost up to £23,000 each in their first year of relocation, complained of boredom, a lack of facilities, and said the Isle of Bute was, quote, full of old people waiting to die, close quote. Father of four, Abdul, 42, said he felt humiliated when he asked the councils to move him and his family to Manchester or Glasgow. And the official told him that that was not possible, as Scottish taxpayers and the community had paid a lot of money to bring you here. Well, just imagine that. Do you think I could just go to my local council and say, could you move me to Bristol, or could you move me to Newcastle? I'd just like to be somewhere else rather than where I am here. I mean, what a cheat this guy has got, thinking that he can just go to the council and demand that they move him to a part of the country that's a little bit more exciting than the place that he's actually been moved to. And his reply to this is him again, he says, I feel like it's an obligatory residence. I feel humiliated. I didn't come here for anyone to control me. What a cheek. Of course it's an obligatory residence. The UK government are paying for you. If they're paying for you, you are going to live where they tell you you're going to have to live. You're not going to complain about it. He continues, I love the weather. There are some people who like this weather and I like it. I like the winter. But for 6 or 7 months now, there has been nowhere to go. Well, what is he expecting? Is he expecting a night clubbing? You know, the guy who supposedly come from a war zone, he should be happy just to be living in a shed somewhere if there's peace, not complaining that it's not exciting enough for him. He added, we thought we were going to London or Manchester. But whenever we say anything about moving off the island, we are told we have to pay a lot of money to bring you here. There is no movement. There is nothing. I'm not bored anymore. I am depressed now. And he also revealed that after feeling humiliated by the council staff, he drank a whole bottle of whiskey as part of a failed suicide attempt. I mean, how pathetic is that? I mean, these Muslims, they're supposed to not drink at all. This is obviously just him trying to make a fuss of himself and cause a fuss. You're not likely to overdose on a bottle of whiskey. You're just going to get extremely drunk. It says here, the families arrived in Scotland 8 months ago as part of the Home Office's Syrian Vulnerable Person Resettlement Scheme, which aims to house 20,000 people in the UK by 2020 and prioritises the most vulnerable. Now get this, the refugees have been given 5 years worth of humanitarian protection status, permission to work, and access to public funds, with their costs met for a whole year by the overseas aid budget. So for a whole year, they've got everything they possibly need paid for. These are people from halfway over the other side of the world that are nothing whatsoever to do with us, who should actually be fighting in their own country to free the country from terrorism. And they're not. They're over here bludging from our government when we can't even afford to pay the costs of our own people. We've got homeless people of our own that we need to be looking after. We've got problems with the hospitals. We've got problems with the schools. We are snowed under because of taking in all these waifs and strays from exotic countries, other parts of the world, that have no business being here. And now, on this little island that we've been kind enough to put these refugees on, a young six-year-old white girl has ended up being murdered. I'm sure it must just be a coincidence. Also in the news, parents stop school celebration of perversity. Now this one really got my blood boiling. A primary school, that's children of ages 5 to 10, was forced to hold and invent celebrating gay pride in private after a group of parents threatened to protest at a playground parade. Now, I would say it was the children that were being forced to celebrate this, not the school that was forced to hold it in private. Hevers Farm Primary School had invited families by letter to watch the Proud to Be Me parade on campus. It said it wanted parents to join in celebrating the rainbow of things that make them and their families special. However, the event was axed at the last minute on Friday after the head teacher received warnings a group of parents planned to hold a protest. Instead, the school held an assembly and low-key parade in the morning, with parents invited into classrooms in the afternoon to learn about their work on diversity and inclusion. Erica Chamberlain, whose five-year-old daughter Scarlett was due to take part, said she'd been really excited about it and what she was going to wear to it, so we were really disappointed. And it's that sentence there that got me really mad. And this five-year-old girl, she doesn't know what she's doing. She doesn't know what the gay pride symbolizes. She doesn't understand that she's waving a flag in support of sodomy and child abuse and raping children, and yet this girl is being used to advance that cause. And what is this? It's a parade. They're holding a gay pride parade. What goes on at a gay pride parade? Half-naked sodomites and lesbians and transsexuals walk up the road waving dildos around and simulating having sex. And a lot of them do have anal sex there and then. They think it's their right to have sex in public and to flaunt that in front of everybody else. And what you've got here, you've got children of 5 years old that are simulating a gay pride parade in school. And it's absolutely horrific. If anybody had said to me 10 years ago that this is where the gay agenda was going to end up, with five-year-olds simulating gay pride parades in primary schools, I would have said this that's just not true. There's no way that we could sink that far. I don't know how they can justify this. And what they're saying here is, we're trying to make every family feel special. What, have they got homosexuals there that are looking after children? I doubt it very much. There really aren't that many homosexuals in the population, and not that many that have adopted children. And what this is some leftist that is trying to push forward this agenda. But to think that poor five-year-old girl that was looking forward to taking part, if anybody actually told her the truth of what she was actually celebrating there, that poor kid would be absolutely broken and mortified to realise what, you know, the way that she'd been used. Her innocence would be taken from her. It's absolutely sick that they're doing this. Continuing, one mother said she took her daughter out of school on the day of the parade, good girl. She told the Standard there were dozens of us who were upset and waited outside the school office to demand a meeting when we heard what was being taught. I want to be able to educate my child on these things. It is not just a matter of religion or our religious beliefs. We are going to write to the MP about it anyway. But he turned up in the morning. So where can we go? So the very people that she, this mother thought would actually have a sympathetic ear, her MP, was actually there. Labour MP for Croydon North, Steve Reid, attended the celebration, tweeting, "With the wonderful staff and children at Heaver's Farm for their pride celebration, very proud of them for standing up for equality and diversity, and using children in the most despicable way to promote perversity." It's not equality and diversity, it's perversity that they are promoting. Another mother, 48, said, "A number of parents pulled their children out of the school for the parade entirely. They just didn't show up with their kids." Well, that's what parents need to do. They need to pull their children out of these schools and homeschool them. You know, we are lucky enough in Britain to be able to homeschool our children. They can't do that in Germany. There are parts of the world where you are not allowed to homeschool your children. In Britain, we are still allowed to homeschool our children. And I would advise any nationalist with children to think about doing that. Surely you must have enough friends among you. I mean, nationalists are usually quite fairly well educated, and you must have, hopefully you'd have a community of people around you that could help you with doing that. You know, you must, people that have careers or whatever doing, they can talk to the kids about what they do and help out and just give them some experience of life. And I'm very sure that you could mimic what goes on in a school and actually do that better for yourself, just with a group of people that you know, especially if you're nationalists, because, you know, nationalists are keen to learn. And, you know, we have a lot of information there that we want to impart onto the young. And you're going to want to be teaching them to have a positive concept of their race and of their nation. And they're certainly not going to get that at school. And they're going to be taught that sodomy is the same as heterosexual relations, and they're going to be taught that at 5 years old. Kids will be absolutely horrified to hear the mechanics of gay sex. It's horrific enough hearing the mechanics of gay sex at 10, 11, 12 years old, let alone at 5 years old. It's no wonder these kids are so horrified at what's going on in the world. And it's the very people that are supposed to be protecting them, the school teachers, that are doing this to them. It's absolutely sick and depraved. And one other thing, what is this? It started out as gay pride. It started out as one day where they had this gay parade. And then it morphed into Pride Week. And now it's Pride Month. They've got a whole month of this, and they've taken out the gay bit from the beginning, and they're just calling it Pride, and they are forcing it on everybody, forcing it on the schools, forcing it on the police. They're making anybody that works for the public sector, they're making them wear these stupid rainbow badges showing their support for faggotry. This is the way that it works. They're not happy with just legalizing bum sex. They've got to force it down everybody's throat. And, you know, Himmler was absolutely correct when he said that when you get homosexuals in an organization, they will bring other homosexuals to that organization. They won't be happy until they are controlling it. They're like a mafia. They are like a gay mafia. And we see that explicitly with the BBC, where 11% of the BBC staff are homosexual, when homosexuals only make up 1% of the population. So what has happened there is homosexuals have given jobs to other homosexuals. And we see the same thing with politicians and in the government, that, you know, there's a far higher actual percentage of homosexuals that are in the government and work for the government than their actual percentage of the population. And this is why, because they work like a mafia, they work like a secret society, exactly the same way that the Jews do and the Freemasons do. They look out for each other. If they've got a choice of who to help, it will always be the other homosexual. And that is just expected of them. And we need to be like that with white people. If it comes down to something, we always need to be supporting the white man. Always need to be supporting the white man. Doesn't really matter what they've done. If they are against the Negro, if it's the white man or the Negro or the white man or the Jew, we have to support the white man. We have to support our own kind, support our own people, because if we don't, nobody else will. Anyway, thank you very much for listening today. I'll be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory. We'll be right back.